I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. John, when you do, now you're live from Augusta. John, when you do radio interviews, and we thank you very much for doing this, how many times has the Masters music, two-part question, how many times has the Masters music brought you onto the show?
You mean this year or in my life?
All time, over, under 500.
Under 500, but probably closer to at least 200 or 300. I'm almost immune to it at this point. I almost don't hear it.
Well, second part of the question, how many times has the radio show host went, "Hello, friends," and then brought you on for that? Is that also part of the deal?
No, that's for Jim Nance. That's not for me.
And we had my guy Daryl, who's sitting across the table from me, he did Jim Nance, because anytime I think people hear the Masters music now, it's become so synonymous, John, that they automatically go, "Hello, friends."
Well, you know, what's more important about Jim Nance, actually, is he was the one who coined the phrase, a tradition unlike any other.
Yes.
Way back in 1986 when he first went to work for CBS. And of course, Augusta National has now trademarked the phrase. Jim didn't get a nickel from it, but they've trademarked it because they own anything that is said on air during a Masters telecast. Now, I think Jim is hoping that they'll make it up to him by giving him his very own green jacket someday, which I know he wants very much. But they don't tend to give out too many of those to people in the media, even people who are part of their broadcast partners. Frank Jerkinian, the great CBS producer who more or less invented the Masters with the way he put together the telecast, he was the first guy to come up with the notion of under par and over par. Until then, they just showed you total scores. And came up with the idea for the syrupy music and all that stuff. And Frank actually moved to Augusta late in his life, hoping to become a member here, and never did. Now, Jim's on air, so maybe they'll give him a break.
So for a second, I was like, well, we have him on during football season. We should get a stink going and start making a big thing about him not getting a jacket and make them give a jacket, but it would probably have the reverse effect, wouldn't it?
Almost certainly. Almost certainly. If you try to tell the membership here what to do, they're going to do exactly the opposite, yeah, because nobody tells them what to do.
Well, I'm just going to shut my fat mouth up then. John Feinstein joining us on the show, author, also commentator, knows basically everything there is to know about the great sport of golf. So Thursday, great opening round. Bryson DeChambeau started off very, very well. Brooks Koepka at the top of the leaderboard. And then we see Lefty. They're at third, 5 under. Were you surprised he came out of the box so hot?
You're never surprised by first rounds, unless somebody shoots 80, who you don't expect to go high. Phil Mickelson knows his golf course as well as anybody. He's won here 3 times. He's played some good golf this year. That's a Mickelson phrase. I've played some good golf. And so for him to play well here never really surprises me. If you look how well Fred Couples has played here through the years, well into his 50s. Now, he didn't play well yesterday. He shot 78. But, no, it didn't shock me. I think Phil is perfectly capable of winning here again. Certainly getting off to a good start always helps.
John, I've been waiting for Tiger Woods to win another one of these majors since he's come back. Is he back to being Tiger?
No, he'll never be back to the Tiger Woods who dominated the sport. I mean, he won 14 majors in 11 years. He had 9 years in that run where he won at least 5 times, which is just ridiculous. He was, in my opinion, during that stretch, with all due respect to Jack Nicklaus, the greatest player of all time. Jack's won more majors, 18 to 14. But Tiger dominated in ways that nobody, and Jack would be the first one to tell you this, nobody's ever dominated. He won a Masters by 12. He won a U.S. Open by 15. He won a British Open by 8. He won 4 in a row. He didn't win a Grand Slam per se, but he had a Tiger Slam, winning the last 3 of 2000 and then the Masters to start 2001. I mean, he just did things that were a joke. The fact that he was able to come back and play as well as he did last year after the back surgery and win a tournament was remarkable. But no, he's never going to be the Tiger Woods who completely dominated the game. Now, does that mean he can't win another major? No, he could win another major, but he's never going to be that Tiger Woods again.
Does part of you, because we talk about a lot of guys, but it's always Tiger that takes center stage, does part of you want him to win one just so we talk about him less, or do you think that'll make us talk about him more?
That would make people talk about him more, and I wish people would talk about him less. I mean, if he's in contention, I understand, and I also understand that he's Tiger Woods, and people are going to talk about him no matter what he does. I completely get that for all the reasons I cited, and also, you know, for a long time, he was the scene of a car accident, literally. And figuratively, what I don't get, and I'm not saying this in a put-down way, although maybe I am, is the adoration that he receives. I think he deserves our admiration for all the reasons I just cited, but based on who he's been, I don't get the adoration.
We got John Feinstein joining us on the show, at Jay Feinstein Books. You can actually hear the birds chirping in the background. Augusta's just a magical place. John, what's the best Masters performance that you've ever seen?
I would say Ben Crenshaw in 1995. I mean, Tiger winning by 12, obviously, was unbelievable. I did not see Nicklaus in 65. I'm not that old. In 95, Ben Crenshaw was basically over the hill, basically done. He was 42 years old. He hadn't won for 5 years. His mentor, Harvey Pinnock, died on the Sunday before the Masters. He flew to Austin to be a pallbearer in Harvey Pinnock's funeral. He and Tom Kite together ordered Davis Love not to go with them because Davis was very close. Davis's father was very close to Harvey Pinnock, and they both said, no, you stay behind. You need to get ready because you have a chance to win. And Ben came back and beat Davis down the stretch on Sunday to win his second Masters. That certainly is dramatic. A Masters as I've ever seen.
Well, you ain't kidding. John Feinstein with us on the show. So who did you pick to win this year's Masters, and why did you feel that way?
I always pick Rory McIlroy to win, having nothing to do with who I think is going to win, but just because I want him to win. I'd like to see him wrap up the career Grand Slam. He is probably my favorite golfer as a person. He's just a terrific guy. I'd like to see him do that because I think if he can get this off his shoulders, then he can go on and win another 4, 5, 6 majors. Now, he didn't play well yesterday, won over par. He's going to have to make some kind of move today to get back into contention. But I always pick Rory McIlroy whether I think he's going to win or not.
Who do you think is going to win this weekend?
I have no idea. If I knew, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be on my island somewhere sunning myself.
Were you surprised about Jordan Spieth's opening round? It was a little bit rough.
Yeah, I was surprised, and I'll tell you why. Now, Jordan hasn't played well for a while, and he's really been struggling this year, but I thought being here would get him going because he's played this golf course so well. He's been so consistently good here, not just to win. He's had a couple seconds. I think his worst finish is like a T11. He knows his way around here. He knows how to play here. So I thought if anything would get him going, it would be the sight of this golf course and the first day of the Masters.
John, why has he struggled so much? What do you think?
I don't know. Again, if I knew the answer to that question, I'd go to him and I'd say, give me $10 million and I'll fix you.
has he given you a good reason? Or
no, I don't think he knows. You know, again, if he knew the reason, he would fix it. I think what happens, though, I can give you a generalization because this has happened to other guys. When Jordan was dominating the game the way he did in 2015, he never missed a putt. He made every putt. Anything inside 20 feet was going in the hole, especially if it mattered. And he's never been a great ball striker, as they like to say. He's a good ball striker, but, you know, he doesn't hit it when he's at his best like Rory or like Dustin Johnson or like Tiger Woods at his peak. Nobody hit it like that. But it didn't matter because he's such a good putter. Then he started to miss some putts. And, you know, he had the meltdown here the next year at number 12, but came back and won the British Open in 2017. But started to miss some putts. And when you start to miss putts, that affects the rest of your game because you think you got to get the ball closer. You can't afford to miss greens. You start to overthink. And the next thing you know, you're spraying the ball off the tee. You're missing greens. You're not getting it up and down. And you're not Jordan Spieth anymore.
Who's the next big rivalry that you see kind of blossoming in the game?
Oh, that's hard to answer because you just never know who's going to jump up. I mean, I think a couple of years ago, we thought it was going to be McIlroy, Spieth, and Day. We're going to be the next big three, and Jason has battled injuries, and Rory hasn't won a major since 2014, and we just talked about Spieth. So I think Bryson DeChambeau is going to be a big factor in the game, though, for the next few years, and obviously so is Brooks Koepka. Brooks isn't quite as young as Bryson, but he's also already won three majors. And if Bryson does turn out to be as big a star as people think he might be, pace of play is going to become even a bigger issue because he's slower than Midtown traffic in Manhattan at 5 o'clock on a Friday.
John Feinstein with us on the show. What about Brooks Koepka though? Cause you mentioned he's playing very well. He's played very well. He's really blossomed. But there were some people, I was talking to some folks ago, the personality. And I know that you're an appreciator of golf, so maybe that kind of rubs you the wrong way. But, hey, there's a reason why people line up to get John Daly's autograph still, and it isn't just the British Open. So for like a guy like Brooks, do you think that that's maybe a good thing to do, to speak out more, to talk more, or should he stay just the way he is?
No, I think Brooks should do whatever makes him most comfortable. I had the chance to spend a good deal of time with him in 2015 and 16 when I was researching my book on the Ryder Cup, the majors. I think he's very bright. I like him. I think he's got a sense of humor, self-deprecating sense of humor, which is my favorite kind. I just say he's not a guy who wants to sit on a podium and answer questions. A lot of the questions you get, you know this, in press conferences are dumb questions. A lot of questions start with talk about, which just rubs people the wrong way, rubs me the wrong way sitting there. I think Brooks's personality, the more he plays well and the more scrutiny he gets, will come to be more appreciated by people. And I hope that's the case because I like the guy. I hear people say, well, yeah, he's a good player, but he doesn't have a personality. What kind of personality did Tiger Woods have when he was dominating
nothing.
The game?
Nothing.
I mean,
nothing.
His personality was annoying most of the time. So I don't know why people are making such a big deal out of it. Maybe it's because they wish he would go away and not be such a good player.
John, I love it. And I thank you so much for the time. I know you're very, very busy this weekend. We appreciate your time. Jay Feinstein Books, all the best to you and hope to talk to you again soon, friend.
All right. No worries. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you. John Feinstein, North Olmsted, Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. One of the very finest. Do you even care about golf anymore? I get a mixed bag out of it because I try to play because Lima's a player, so I play with him a lot, and yeah, I like it. But I totally get where there's people like, nah.
Let me guess, you drive the golf cart and drink the beer.
Well, I don't drink and drive. Obviously, I usually have cookie pie, drive the golf cart, and then I drink the beer. I mean, honestly, that's just the way she goes.
I'll watch the final round of the majors. Or the back nine of the final round of the majors, but I don't watch it religiously.
I've gotten into it a little bit more over time, but I still think that when you get to Masters weekend, especially for like what we do, I don't know. And that's why I think so many people talk Tiger, and I'll explain that coming back. 216-578-0092. This and who exactly we want for the Cavs next coach is Ken Carman with the Dangerous One. In for Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.